England are hosting France. Ireland visit Scotland. And Italy play Wales in the one match either side is most likely to win. In this episode, you are going to get a front row seat to the matches of the second week of the 2025 Six Nations. And I'm going to give it to you from a uniquely Springbok perspective too. Before we delve into it, I would like to say that last week I noticed that there were quite a fair bit of comments from viewers from places like Italy, France, Ireland, and the United Kingdom. And I'd like to say that you are very welcome here. But don't forget, this is a Springbok-themed channel, so you can expect some partisan takes. But if you're here again this week, I know that you're up for it, and I appreciate you being here. Now, the most important match this weekend from a Bok point of view is Italy versus Wales. The reason is because the world champions face the Italians in July in a two-test series. They are our next opponent, so I know that Dr. Rassi Erasmus is watching them very closely. And if Doc is doing it, so should we. I watched the Italians against Scotland last week, and there were several players who impressed me. Nacho Brex, his centre partner in crime, Tommaso Manoncello, what a player. Tommaso Allen, Lorenzo Cannoni, Danilo Fischetti, and captain Michele Lomaro. I'm also very aware of the dangers posed by players like Ange Capuozzo, he's actually my favourite Italy player at the moment, Paolo Garbisi, Federico Ruzza, and Sebastian Negri. I was impressed by the Italian scrum at Murrayfield. Allen's ability to slot over kicks from 50 metres out is a massive asset. And that's actually how they got themselves back into the contest. At one stage, it looked like the Scots were running away with it. Allen just kept putting over those 3 pointers. Two of them were from approximately 50 metres. Suddenly it was 19-12, and then they had their try. And the next thing you know, it's 19-all in a match that Scotland had dominated up until that point. And that's another great attribute of the Azzurri. They have a never-say-die attitude. And in what I think might be a close encounter against the Welsh in Rome, that is going to be key. As for Wales, I didn't actually think they were as terrible as people made out against France. I saw some of the reports describe them as woeful Wales. Okay, that's great for alliteration, but I didn't think they were that bad. To me, they looked like a team that was doing their best. They were just outclassed by a superior team. But perhaps that in itself is a concern. If this is the best they can play, then where does that leave them? I'm going to have to go with an Italy win here, and I'm hoping to learn a few additional things about them from a match where I think they're going to be playing on the front foot a lot more. No doubt Dr. Erasmus is also hoping to learn a lot more from them when we see them playing with more ball, with more ball in hand, and, as I mentioned, on the front foot. Because it's quite possible that in July against the Springboks, they might have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, where they might actually be in command of the match. You think particularly in the early stages of a fixture, they might get an upper hand in those first 10 or 20 minutes, and the Boks might have to sweat it out. It'll be good for us to know exactly what we can expect when their tails are up. Let's talk about England versus France at Twickenham. La Crunch. This could be the match of the round, no doubt about it. I think on paper it certainly is. Last time Les Bleus visited London, they annihilated the English 53-10. I don't foresee that happening again, though. But I do make the visitors the favourites. England put in a spirited performance against Ireland in round one. They were on top for periods of the match, but they were ultimately outdone by, in my opinion, a better team who excels at finding solutions to problems. Steve Borthwick has opted to move Marcus Smith to fullback, which frankly I don't understand. Finn Smith instead starts at 10. So, okay, you got Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith, if you'll excuse my take on a 2005 movie. But take it from a South African, guys. You don't want to start a promising youngster at fly half against one of the very best teams in the world. Not when he's inexperienced. Not when you yourself are, let's be honest, in a rebuilding phase. You can surround the boy with experience, but you rather want to start him in an easier match. In 1999, the Springboks had a lot of injury problems, and we started Chaffee du Toit at 10 against the All Blacks in Dunedin. Granted, he had an inexperienced David von Hesselen at scrum half, but it ended disastrously for us. Both men at that stage had somewhere around 5 caps. We lost 28-0, and both those players, who by pretty much any account were supposed to be our future 9 and 10 stars. To give you an idea, when South Africa and England met in the 2007 Rugby World Cup final, back in 1999, people would have said von Hesselen and du Toit would have been our scrum half and fly half combination in that World Cup final. By that stage, both men were out of the picture. In fact, they'd largely disappeared even before the 2003 World Cup. To his credit, du Toit did manage to resurrect his career as a fullback and ended up getting game time again for the Springboks. But by 07, it was all over. And the reality is that both men could even have still been around in 2011 at that Rugby World Cup. All I can say is I wish you well against the French. Best of luck. You're going to need it. France are a formidable team right now. They've lost Romain Ntamack, but in comes Mathieu Jalibert. That's not bad depth. Damien Penaud is also back on the right wing, and he is one of the most dangerous flyers in the world, and yes, he will get the ball. The French pack is strong. They scrum well, they're good in the lineouts, and very good at the breakdown. France also happen to have a scrum half that knows how to play rugby properly. And I didn't mention too many French names there, but if you are a French viewer, I do ask for forgiveness. I'm trying my best to pronounce your names accurately. You must remember that in South Africa, hardly anybody speaks French. Finally, we have Scotland v Ireland in Edinburgh. Now, this could actually be the best match of the round. I know I just said that on paper, England-France is the best match, but in terms of the action, I think this might be the pick of the weekend. You have a Scottish team that likes to play attacking, attractive rugby, and an Irish outfit that will happily go with it. Although, yes, you would say that Ireland are the better side and a more complete team. But that doesn't mean we can't get an upset here. At the time of recording this episode, the two teams have not been revealed yet, so it's difficult for me to make a score prediction. What I can say is that Ireland start as favourites. I don't think anybody will dispute that. And I think they're likely to come out on top by about 10 points if the two coaches put out what you would call expected 15s or even match day 23. So that would be Finn Russell at 10 for Scotland and Jameson Gibson-Park at 9 for Ireland, for example. But as I say, an upset cannot be ruled out. And that's one of the great things about the Six Nations. You've usually got your wooden spoonist, sure, but most of the remaining teams are capable of putting one over each of the other teams. I've picked Italy, France, and Ireland as my trifecta. But as we all know, it could just as easily end up being Wales, England, and Scotland. Sure, a bit of luck would be required for that outcome, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility. So what do you think? Who are you picking to win this weekend in the Six Nations? Let me know in the comments section down below. Now guys, just before I go, I want to tell you quickly about my Patreon page. I would love it if you would head on over there and sign up as a patron. And the reason is because I want to do this full time. And I also want to go to Australia in 2027 and provide you with daily content from down under. Signing up as a patron starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Namibian. And there are several tiers. You don't just have to go for the $5. We also have $10, $25, $50, and even $100. And the benefits vary. In some cases, you stand a chance to win Springbok rugby merchandise. You also stand the chance to win movie tickets. And on top of that, you could also have a quarterly Zoom call with me where we discuss a specific match and tactics. I'll even write an ebook for you on your favorite player, depending on the tier that you select. So head on over there. The link is in the description area below, and I will speak to you next time.